revolution. The revolution will not be televised. Revolution is when you change your mind about how you look at things. What you see later on is the results of that, but the revolution, that change that takes place, will not be televised. Televised and be no rerun, brothers and sisters. The revolution will be live.
Neuroscientists find that the medial prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate cortex are involved in the self-perception of one's life path, positive growth, motivation, and emotional intelligence, all the innate tools necessary to live a thriving and abundant life. And fMRI studies show us that when people express internal gratitude, bioelectric activation occurs in these same areas. Like an on-off switch, gratitude connects with the brain's reward center and creates a feeling of peace. It puts us in a state of mind that allows for better assessment and calm response, even while under pressure. Gratitude affects the brain's default mode network, or DMN, which is involved in self-identity, morality, and social relationships. With gratitude, the DMN becomes a more focused picture, which allows one to see more connections and opportunities as they occur in real time. Gratitude also improves heart rate variability, which gives more control over the parasympathetic nervous system. This allows for better impulse control, which inevitably leads to making better decisions. Gratitude also cultivates better sleep quality and lower inflammation. Gratitude not only feels good, it brings good things. No matter if you think it's merely perception or coincidence, or if you think it's luck, karma, or grace, whatever you want to call it, there is a predictable cause and effect when you practice gratitude. Your life inexplicably changes for the best. This is a law of nature that has been written about in most religious and esoteric traditions. In the Torah, there is Psalms 50:23, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, honor me, and show me the way to salvation. In the New Testament, Philippians 4:6 through 7 says that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Perhaps the most direct version of this is found in the Quran's 14:7. If you are grateful, I will give you more. If you are ungrateful, punishment is severe. In Hinduism's Bhagavad Gita, if one offers with devotion, I will accept with love. In Bhakti, it is taught that gratitude and devotion evoke grace. In Buddhism, gratitude is a foundational practice that cultivates mindfulness and compassion and leads to blessings in your personal life. In Sikhism, daily gratitude is said to lift the spirit and bring about auspicious outcomes. Sufism teaches that gratitude attracts increased blessing. Yoga teaches that gratitude is a clear, luminous state of mind that draws grace and auspicious coincidence towards the practitioner. 33 in the Tao Te Ching says that contentment brings wealth. And in Hermetic traditions, the principles of correspondence and vibration teach that a grateful inner state has a resonance that attracts more experiences to be grateful for. Gratitude greatly increases opportunity, protection, guidance, harmony with others, self-sufficiency, and overall peace, This is true whether you choose to believe that it's just the neuroscience of having better control of emotions, clearer perception, and stronger social bonds, or if you believe that the world we live in resonates in response to the vibrations we generate. Either way, the more you give thanks, the better your life will be. According to research, the most common and effective practices are gratitude journaling, which can be listing just a few things 2 to 3 times per week, and practicing a form of gratitude meditation, of which there are many. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you. Greg Reese reporting. Hello, everybody. Hello. Thanks for joining me. I'm actually pretty impressed that I got this thing up and running. I think I went about 1 or 2 minutes over than the time I was hoping, so good job. I don't do this very often, and I haven't done this. I've never done this before. I'm allegedly going out across YouTube, X, and Substack. Most importantly is my Substack, which I have center in front of me, and I can see Substack's running good. This is my first time I've ever done this on Substack. And I'm not using only Substack. I'm going through OBS, which I've used before, through Restream, which I've never used, into Substack. Seems like it's working. Cool. I got some videos fired up, and I'm going to look into the chat. I'm supposedly looking at the chat from all the different platforms. I'm supposedly on YouTube. It looks like I am on YouTube. And Rumble. I'm supposedly on Rumble, too. At a certain point, I gave up. I thought 4 was enough. But anyways, I have some lights charging because eventually I think the sun's going to go down low enough to where I'm going to have to fire those up. But in the meantime, we're just going to hang out and sip some tea and give thanks and talk about 2026, and throughout the entire time, I'm going to be asking you for your support. I'm going to be saying, please, either sign up for a year, $75 at Substack, or donate to the link down below. I don't ever really do this. I don't run ads. I think I have some ads running on Rumble. I don't have a marketing plan. I don't have affiliates. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, I'm not saying that's good or bad. Technically, you could say it's a bad thing. Technically, you could say that's no way to be self-employed in America. And I believe in free market capitalism. I'm no commie. But one of my favorite things about the Reese Report is the fact that it is somewhat stripped of all that. You know, it's just these little 5-minute nuggets. And I have a little self-promo at the end. So it's not completely bare of it. I can't claim that. If it were completely bare of it, I think it would be even... I think there's something cool to that. But, you know, for the past year, I've had to turn to my Substack, really. You know, when I quit InfoWars, which is almost a year ago exactly. Yes. Wow, I didn't even think of that, actually. I just figured Thanksgiving. But exactly a year ago was when I quit InfoWars, where I worked at for 5 years. And it took me about a year to finally quit after I knew I was going to, which I'm not proud of. And the reason it took me a year was because I was trying to figure out how I was going to be able to... I wanted to go without the Reese Report having any hiccups. I wanted it to be almost unnoticeable, just to keep on keeping on, you know, keep it going. And because of many of you... I know many of you are listening and watching right now, my paywall subscribers on Substack. Because of you, I've been able to do that this year. This past year, 2025, Reese Report-wise, you know, the only difference is that I work for you guys instead of working for Free Speech Systems, LLC. And we'll probably get into that too, talk about that if anyone has questions. People always have questions about that, but... You know, the easiest answer is in 2023, around this time, once again, sometime around the fall, winter of 2023, 2024,
I don't remember exactly when. There was 2 days in a row in the same week on Alex's show where he went on for about an hour each time talking about how his family's in the deep state and there's a good deep state versus a bad deep state. And the good deep state, they at least care about the future of their, for their kids. They care about their kids, whereas the bad deep state just wants to destroy everything for some reason. And he's helping fight the good deep state against the bad deep state. So maybe that's true. I'm not here to say that's not true. I just knew that that's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm involved in at all. That's not my role in life, my path in life at all. And so I knew that, and that was different from what I thought. That surprised me to hear that. I was like, that's interesting. And so I knew then that I had to quit. And I suppose, but I didn't quit right away. I actually went to Russia shortly after that. And Russia was a trip of curiosity. I've always wanted to go to Russia. And figured now is better than ever, while you still can. And was there for 6 months. As many of my podcast listeners know, I talked a lot about that from Russia. And a lot of the time, Russia was an experience. So it was 6 months of deep absorption internally mostly. I tend to be isolated most of the time, but isolated in Russia is a unique and special type of isolation, especially through the winter there. And it was great. But a lot of it was sort of dealing with everything I was just telling you about. Because I worked there for 5 years, and I am a totally different person now than I was in 2018 when I started there. I with my friends, I use the term pre-COVID and post-COVID. I'm stealing that from my friend Celia Farber. I think that's it, pre-2020, post-2020 is what she says. Pre-2020, post-2020. Better put. Easier written down, catchier. Well, I think the lighting's pretty cool right now, natural lighting. But anyways, pre-2020 was pretty naive. Pre-2020 believed that there was going to be such a mass awakening that we were going to pull the curtain back so far that we were going to get all the way back to the root of it, root out the dragon. We were going to root out the dragon, and if we were lucky, it wouldn't kill us all. Maybe we have done that. I don't know, but post 2020, Greg thinks that was good-hearted. Nothing wrong with that, but naive and foolish. And uninformed, maybe, I don't know. Humbling, whatever it is. It's post-20, going through the 2020, pre-2020, post-2020, it was very humbling. I didn't realize how many people wanted to be like serfs to a system. I really honestly thought that most people didn't want that and they were just somehow tricked into it. And what I've learned living through 2020 is that most people want that. They just want to be treated well. They just want the system to be favorable to them. And when you're dealing with that, you're dealing in a whole other thing, But there's going to be a certain vibe to this live stream today, because I was going through all the work I've done since 2018, since I started the Reese Report. Before 2018, I've been making short videos since I was a kid. I actually did some Super 8 film things with my mother. My mother helped me. When I was 8 years old, I did, in my sandbox, I did the story of the dinosaurs. And, it might have been fake news, because I had a paper mache asteroid that I put lighter fluid on and set on fire in some stop animation in the sandbox with some of my plastic dinosaur things. And, I was basing it on the best knowledge I could get my hands on, at 8 years old. That would have been 1978. I think now that was probably fake news, the whole dinosaurs and asteroid story. I think I've changed a lot since then. When I was 8 years old, I guess I bought into the whole asteroid story. Now I'm thinking dinosaurs were dragons, and that in recent history they're trying to hide the truth about dragons. But that's just my latest quirky take. Like, I think I was wrong in It's 1978 with the dinosaur film. I could, you know, years from now, I could find out I'm totally off base with the whole dragon thing. So you never know. But anyways. And then when I got into teen years was when videotape came out in the 80s. And my parents had a video camera, and I would get multiple VHS decks and edit from tape to tape. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And it comes out crappy. Occasionally, the joy is occasionally you'll get a clean edit, a clean cut. But usually not. Usually it's dumb. But sometimes you can even get messy cuts that are kind of interesting, artistic, you know. But mostly it's just dumb. And then digital editing came out in 1999, for me, in 1999, and changed my life. Because that's really who I am. Anyone comes to me for political advice, you know. In my opinion, politics is a circle jerk. It's a circle jerk game made up of two equally dumb sides who buy into the circle jerk game. That the most important thing in the life is to watch these actors act out the theater that was written and produced and directed by the system that is enslaving you. You know, I'm certainly no expert in that. I'm pretty good at spotting political agents, I think. But I don't give, you know, I'm not like a professional investor. I don't give professional investing advice. I don't give advice on how to spot, you know, a political agent. You know, that's something you got to do on your own. You could think that I could be a political agent, you know. You could have your reasons for that. Good on you. You know, you should question everyone. You know, some of you out there know me personally and you bonded with me and you have your opinions based on that. Which is how they should be based on. But anyways, what the hell am I talking about? I was talking about the Reese Report and how I've always been doing short videos. And then I know why I brought it up. Because in 2004, that's when I had my moment where I realized that, how do you want to put it? You know, the more of the specific big picture of the emerging New World Order, the emerging, what we would call technocracy today. That's what we would call it today. There was different names for it back then. I think originally, back 20 years ago when I first, you know, back in 2004 when I was first cracking this up myself, I think it was basically New World Order was what people called it. The New World Order was coming, which I always thought was strange because it seems like this is an old world order that's been around forever. And the New World Order is like their new marketing, you know, their new whatever, their new marketing. And so, yeah, anyways, I'm going to probably keep trying to tell myself, all you got to do is go down below and subscribe. All you got is 1 year, $75, and you have helped the Reese Report continue to deliver its message with passion and the best that we can, honestly. That's what we try to do at the Reese Report, we're trying to focus on the stories that are most important. We don't always get the most hits, okay? I think I will digress. If I were to do, and I'm not being judgmental towards anyone else right now at all, because I get it. I understand completely. But if I were to do more videos right now on the Charlie Kirk assassination, which is clearly like a state-run operation, I think Israel-run. I mean, that's all pretty obvious and clear. There's no real mystery conspiracy there. It's juicy, though. And I don't mean any disrespect. People may have died in these events. I'm just stating the obvious. These are pre-2020 Greg would have been all over this. Charlie Kirk thing, Israel in general. I've been talking about Israel since 2004, thanks to the research of David Icke, who I discovered back in 2004. I would say David Icke is, in many ways, my mentor, as well as Alex Jones. The two of them in 2004, in 1 year, kind of gave me a rundown of everything. It's like all you need to know. You know, they had it all written down. 2004 and before, and of course the great William Cooper. But so 2004 was when it became clear that there was a quick moving agenda, and that there was an opportunity for an a reason for an awakening, you know? Like there was this idea I had immediately of an awakening, of this massive awakening that was going to change everything, that was going to happen all over the world, and people were going to see what I was seeing. In fact, when it happened to me, there was a moment that stood out more than any other time where it was like you could feel it. It felt really good. And I actually went outside. It was in the middle of the night. I wasn't on any substances. And I went outside because I was going out to see if other people were coming outside looking around too, like, you too? You know, that's how it was. That, you know, maybe I'm a kook, but it was a very powerful experience. You know, it was very memorable. And so I thought, well, okay, maybe I didn't notice it that night, but it's happening. It's happening everywhere. It wasn't just me. And there's people that are waking up, and we're going to all wake up, and we're going to change it. So I started making music videos about it. A lot of the big theme for me at the time was pulling the curtain back and the Wizard of Oz thing. And then up around 2012, I've told this story before, up around 2012, when Obama was getting elected his second term, I gave up hope entirely on this awakening because, you know, one of the things, like I said, I think I'm pretty good at spotting a political agent. I think I'm also pretty good at reading the room. I think I can sort of get a general sense of what's going on around me in reality, you know, a certain amount of situational awareness and self-awareness. At least I do my best at it because I know I'll probably die. I'll probably kill myself out of stupidity if I don't manage to keep up that kind of sense of awareness. So, but around 2012, I could tell this isn't going to happen. In fact, everyone's going deeper asleep than I've seen in the past 8 years, you know? And so then I started focusing on, well, what do you do in a world of tyranny? And, you know, after a few years and writing my life story in a book that I self-published in 2017, I basically came up, well, not basically, that sounds almost disrespectful. I came up with the answers to that. I believe I was graced with the answers, you know? I used to use the term God, but I don't even like using the term God anymore because so many people have their own specific definition as to what that means. It defeats the whole purpose of it because when I say the word God, what I'm describing is a force that is where everything exists within, and there's no possible way I could even describe it. I don't think anyone else could either. So, anyways, but yeah. And then by the time 2018 came along, it was actually 2017. It was actually right after I finished self-publishing my book, which I never promote, but I will mention it. I'm probably a little embarrassed by it, story-wise, but I'm not really, because I don't really get too embarrassed by my own. I've never been embarrassed by my own stories. Your most embarrassing stories are your best stories. Sex, Drugs, and Ohm. I did the cover art myself, and I think it's pretty bad. I think the cover art's pretty bad. I would love to have like a professional book person design a book cover. This is just really dark. But the contents are pretty good. I'm very happy with the story. Anyways, that's my story that I self-published in 2017. And around that same time, I was completely ignoring politics, conspiracy theories, whatever you want to call it. And somehow, I was actually living at a yoga ashram at the time, and my video work was focused on yoga, hatha yoga, training videos. And my research and private study was based on meditation and spiritual things. And I found peace with living in a tyrannical world. That was my peace. The peace that I found was even if they lock me in a literal jail cell, I still have an infinite realm within me that I can explore and continue to evolve and grow and learn and become a better human being, you know, become a more Christ-like, Buddha-like, however you want to define it, not to be triggering to people, but just to be in my view, that's what I'm here to do. In my view, I am a, for lack of better words, words can be triggering, but I'm just going to say I'm a spirit inside of a human. And I'm trying to overcome the human's instincts and desires to a certain degree so that I can make that human be a decent human among humans. You know what I mean? I know a lot of you do. I know most of you do. You know, you might have different ways of putting it and stuff. But so anyways, I I was focusing on that stuff, and I was cool with things. And then somehow I came across the first Q post, which would have also been around this same time of year. I believe it was October, end of October, early November of 2017. And I don't, at the time, like I said, I wasn't following 4chan. I never heard of 4chan. I wasn't following any conspiracy stuff. I would kind of like let that go. Now, I had a few friends that I'm sure were following stuff. And so someone, I guess, must have sent it to me. But I don't even think it was someone who sent it to me. Somehow, I had the very first Q post open up on my computer browser during work hours, within hours of it being posted, which I think is weird. It makes me think, am I some kind of mind control? How deep does my MKUltra go? I think to some degree we're all MKUltra'd if you're in the new system just watching TV. And not only that, but I became obsessed with it. And I immediately detected bullshit. I also have a good bullshit detector. I immediately detected bullshit because he was talking about Hillary Clinton being arrested or something like that. So it just smelled like bullshit. But for some reason, and this is the most interesting thing about it to me, and this falls under the same category of how I found it right away, is it still had this very strong allure. Had a very strong attraction for people. I mean, maybe it's like I know that I am the type of person who is I have a hunger for information. There's no said you can't give me enough. When I was a kid, my first place that I would go on my own without parental supervision was the public library. And I was lucky. It was just like two blocks away. And it was a pretty decent one. And I loved it. And then when the internet came out, I immediately recognized it as the library. But the library now is at my home, at my fingertips. Anyways, Q had that weird effect. You just wanted to keep following it. And what was very interesting was how many people were becoming into it that normally weren't. And the subjects that were being talked about, because it pretty much talked about everything. There was a few things I didn't, a few times, and it seemed like multiple people were being Q. I think now, what do I think Q now is? I think Q now is probably operated by AI. If not AI, then somehow multiple sources, whether that was organized or random, who knows. It's still fascinating. Because a lot of it's turning out to be somewhat true. Like it's saying, in my opinion, we don't know yet. First, I don't know what's going on. And I've never heard anyone who claims to know what's going on where I believe in my heart that they actually know what's going on. So let's get clear about that. I do not even know. I know that there's murder happening. I know that there's democide happening. I know that the government is responsible for mass murder. I know that. But as to why that is and as to what the reasons are and all that stuff, can't tell you for sure. I just have my theories. But anyways, I started noticing that. And then I thought, okay, well, there must be a big awakening. Well, there was, to be honest. For a while, up until January 6th, there was what appeared to be, people were calling it the Great Awakening. People were writing books called the Great Awakening. And that's what it appeared like it could have been. But then after January 6th, that all changed. It became a new way to smear conspiracy theorists, clearly, and an effective one, and it worked. But it's interesting because, like, for example, one of the things Q says is it's going to be biblical. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think we're living through a cataclysmic shift of the ages into the age of Aquarius. And it is biblical. I mean, because in many ways, I'm not a fundamentalist. Certain subjects like the Bible can be so triggering. But who doesn't love the Bible? Bible is one of the oldest books. It's very interesting. But one of the things you can see, the Bible is clearly, is it is in some ways a calendar of through the ages. I'm no expert, but I know there's at least three ages that are documented being going through, what is it, Aries, Taurus, and Pisces. We're in the end. It ends with Pisces. We're alive now in the shift between Pisces and Aquarius. In the great year of 25,000 years, which is what I think, if you want to know what my theory is of what's going on in the world, if you want to know what I think is happening. That's my best guess. This is all about a cataclysm, and they're just preparing the surface. They want the data centers and the robots so that they can be in their underground bunkers with their, you know, police. They still have their human police force, but their human police force will be managing all these robots and AI to keep their eyes on us, on their livestock. Someone's saying Glenn Fittich, 14-year. I'm just checking out the comments now. Hey, it's good to have you guys. So it looks like the Substack thing is working pretty good. Greg, please raise your mic volume. You know, it's probably that I need to talk like this. And I thought about that when I was setting up. You need to get one of them Rogan stands that can move around with you. And that's probably what it is. But hey, you know, I'll tell you about the scotch. Let me tell you about scotch. I can't deny it. I looked at the chat and the chat is moving. And what do I say? I say scotch. That's what I say. Can't hide that. So here's my scotch story. As many people know, I've talked about before. My human likes. I mean, it's been months for me. It's been months since I've allowed my human the alcohol, and it's been several months since I've allowed my human the nicotine cigarettes. So I can't sing too much praise, but there is definitely a part of, like, if there was no repercussions to these things, then yes, the truth is that my human would love a daily ritual of whiskey and cigarettes, for sure. My human body just can't handle them. It wears it down. It causes problems. And so I quit. I quit cigarettes. I can't even remember. Probably a year ago, even. It's been longer since I've lived here. And the alcohol, I think it's been over 3 months. Let's just say 3 months. Definitely over 3 months. As of last night. And when I was drinking, it was whiskey. Specifically Irish whiskey. Various brands. I liked Tullamore Dew. I liked if all they had was Jameson, I'm happy with Jameson. There's a brand when I was in Ireland with family in 2017, there was a brand called Writer's Tears that the Irish kids told me about at the pubs, and said, you gotta try Writer's Tears. And I think that's my favorite. It's almost a little too good. But I went to a friend's yesterday for Thanksgiving, and he's a friend who's been helping me with the album I'm working on. He was a very talented, successful audio engineer for the big companies, and then in 2020 he refused the shot and lost all that, walked away from, like, he was all set up to, you know, get the retirement benefits, you know, get to the rich level benefits, right, when that happened. 30 years in and lost it all for the shot. You got to admire that. And he turns out to be a really cool guy, as you can imagine, right? I think that says something about a person. And so he's been not just a very helpful person in this project, but a very cool guy to hang out with and talk about life, you know, kind of on the same page with things and all that. And I know that he likes scotch because that's something that he's just put out there regularly in casual conversation. So I knew he liked scotch. And when I was in his studio listening to mixes, I noticed a bottle of Glenfiddich down in the corner. I took a picture of it. I was like, okay, Glenfiddich. So I got him a gift, and I knew I wanted to get him a bottle, but I also knew I was on the wagon, and I've been wanting to get him this bottle of scotch now for a while, for probably a couple of months doing this project. But I felt weird giving him some alcohol and then saying, I'm on the wagon, you know? Felt somewhat, I don't know, wrong, you know? I'm half Irish, so it just seems unethical. Doesn't seem like a decent behavior to do something like that. I was torn. I was really torn. But then Thanksgiving came around, and I decided, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So Thanksgiving, I went, I pulled one of my special. I have these $100 bills I got from Russia when I left Russia, and I cashed in rubles for USD. They give these super crisp, brand-new, spanking USD hundies. I think that's what the kids call them. So I took one of those to the liquor store, and I don't know much about scotch, but I wanted Glenfiddich. I got not their cheapest. Probably their middle. Maybe at least their middle. It was like a 12-year old Scotch Glenfiddich.
Anyways, he seemed extremely happy with it. He said, "Are you still on the wagon? Do you want some?" And I said, "Oh, I'm on the wagon." I said, it's a gift anyways, you know, blah, 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 blah." And then, I don't know, probably an hour later, half hour later, 20 minutes later, 10 minutes later, he opened it up and there was an empty glass. I noticed that there was an empty glass on the counter there. Oh, and I said, "It was that for me." And he said, "Sure." And then I filled the glass with the Glenfiddich, the 12-year. And I was, you know, I kind of knew that, I hate saying this because I'm half Irish, I kind of knew that Scotch was a better whiskey than Irish whiskey. It's obviously, you know, it's got to be the best whiskey, right? Unless you're like a loyalist to your nations. And I'm not even from Ireland, I'm just half Irish. So that seems silly. But yeah. Writer's Tears, which I think is pretty damn good. And I think it's better than Tullamore Dew, which is, I think, is better than Jameson. Glenfiddich is better than all of those. That Glenfiddich, the 12-year, is better than all of them. Hands down, easy. Best whiskey comes from Scotland. Anyways, that's why I saw Scotch. The good news is when I drank it, I only drank, I don't know, 2-3. And I didn't get drunk. And I was concerned, like, am I going to feel like crap the next day? Because I've been pretty good. I've been completely free of alcohol, and I've been keto for 3 months and carnivore for about 2 months. So I figured it might whoop my ass. For example, like I just had some cheese that I added into my carnivore diet. Now, carnivore would say, "Greg, that's not carnivore," because the cheese had some jalapeno flavor in it. And a true carnivore, I'm not a true anything, you know. I just mean like zero carbs, basically. But technically, I had probably 0.3 carbs from the jalapeno thing. But that little bit of jalapeno kind of messed me up a little bit. So you never know. But the good news is I feel great. I woke up not remotely anything like hungover. Not dehydrated, not tired, not hungover, nothing. That's another thing about Scotch. I guess Scotch is just... Anyways, we'll talk about more in the chat than just alcohol. For a guy who generally hasn't been drinking at all and isn't going to start up again, it would be silly for me to do that. So anyways, I will play a video because I do have some video set up here. And I have a general theme going on here because, like I said, I was looking through videos. Anyways, to finish the story that I was saying, some of you guys might have actually been following that story. So around 2017, I started thinking that there was this awakening was going to happen again. And so I wanted to get involved. This was still pre-2020 Greg. And I said, you know what? I want to get involved. How do I get involved? Well, they say, do what you love to do. You know, that's what they always say, do what you love to do. So what do I love to do? I like to make short little videos, and I like to make some music, and I like to write things. And I love conspiracy theories. So, you know, I whipped all that together, and I just started doing that. I started doing a thing called the Red Pill on YouTube. When I was living in Hawaii, and I was doing all this, like, manifestation practice. You know, every morning I was putting it out there, like, I want to get involved. I want to help this awakening. I want to do my part in this great awakening, you know. And every night I would put that out there. And throughout the day I would just, you know, put one step in front of the other. And, you know, I was living off of a little bit of Bitcoin because I bought Bitcoin almost a year before, the spring of 2017. I was gifted some money by a family member, and I bought some Bitcoin, and then by the end of 2017, Bitcoin, like, did a 17X. So I cashed out a Bitcoin, and I was in Hawaii, and I was doing this manifestation ritual every day, making these videos. And then two things happened. InfoWars announced a reporter contest, and the volcano erupted right where I moved. About 2 weeks after moving in, the volcano erupted 3 miles away, right after I visited it, because I used to ride my bike there every day. It was really close, and it was this big, massive, huge volcano. It was pretty wild. It was pretty awesome. You can look at pictures of it online, and it's like, meh. But if you go there in person, like, I pretty much almost fell off my bike because I was like, whoa, you know? So they announced, so I was doing videos for their contest. I was already making videos. So I started doing the videos that I love to do, you know, my short little videos, and I was uploading those. The only difference was I was putting my face in them because that's what everyone did on InfoWars. And so I thought, okay, they want you to see your face. I guess that's a news thing. So I was putting my face in there, which I didn't really like doing that. And then I did an ad for the water filter because I owned a water filter at the time that they sell. And my water catchment was full of volcanic ash. And I wasn't going to drink it without testing it first. So I tested it. I got a test kit and I tested it. Turned out it was totally contaminated, as you would expect. Ran it through the filter, tested it again, and it tested for 99.999% pure, which is about as good as you can get. And I had that all on video, put together a video ad, and then I got a call from their director, who said he needed permission who loved the video, would love to run it as an ad. Do they have my permission? And I said, sure. And then once I had that phone number in my mobile, the way that I've lived my life through my experiences, I felt that I knew I had that job. I knew that I didn't have to worry about any contest. I was going to get hired to at least be an editor. I didn't necessarily think I would be doing Reese reports because I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in my craft. Now, that was just something I loved to do. I didn't expect it to be something that other people would like, but I knew I could edit. I knew I could edit my ass off, and I knew you could put me up against any editor, and I knew I could, you know, I could probably beat him, I thought. I was very confident about my editing. So once I had that phone number, I then shipped my things to Texas, got like a temporary apartment, moved to Texas. As soon as I got there, I looked for a permanent apartment, and got like a cheap old cop car. Back in the day when I was, you know, living as a starving artist, I've had a few of them. That's one of my favorite. You can get them for like $3,000, and they're runners, you know, and they look cool. It's like the Bluesmobile. You get your own little Bluesmobile of sorts. And I called up the number and said, hey, I moved here, you know. I put on my little friendly aloof charm. I moved here. Give me a job. I want to work. So I met up with them, and I got hired to do a group of various things, and I just started doing my reports because, once again, it's something I love to do. And then right away, they became popular. Like within a couple months, Alex was on the Rogan show, and he only mentioned like one video, and it was my adrenochrome video. He really liked that. So he was a fan of my, you know, out there kooky conspiracy theory work right away. Anyways, and then the rest is history. But that cues me up for a video I will play. I'll play one of these Reese reports I'm talking about. I went through all these today to pick some. I was going to say, what am I going to play to give thanks and look back as to like, I guess I'll play this one. Talking about water. Yeah, so I wanted to, and you know what I noticed is that so many of them are on like dark subjects, you know, like the adrenochrome, perfect example, you know, like a lot of probably my more popular ones are on pretty dark and dreary subjects, you know. I mean, I know that. And in a way, I'm built for that. When I was a kid, my first art form was drawing, and all my drawings were gruesome and grotesque. All of them were like decapitations and stabbings and stuff like that. You know, it was a thing. You know? And I hung out with other young lads who thought it was funny too, you know? So it's just a thing. It's not that weird. I imagine there's some Gen Xers out there that can understand. Maybe some people that grew up in the Catholic school system who can understand, you know. But anyways, I didn't want to pick any of those videos. I kind of wanted to go with a general Thanksgiving vibe. You know? So here's one. Talking about water, talking about polluted water.
The stated mission of modern science is to dominate and control nature. It was born of the philosophies of Francis Bacon, who suggested we could learn to command nature in action, and of René Descartes, who wrote that mankind could become the masters and possessors of nature. This was science flipped on its head because the previous scientific philosophy saw nature as a perfect creation of God, to be observed and understood. Take, for instance, water. Without water, we would not exist. And so the true value is in understanding the nature of water so that we can flow with it, not control it. For over 20 years, Japanese scientist Dr. Masaru Emoto studied the groundbreaking science of how the molecular structure in water transforms when exposed to human words, thoughts, and sounds. Dr. Emoto would simply label a sample of water with different written words, such as love and gratitude, or I hate you. He would then freeze the water samples and capture them as they crystallized with high-speed microscopic photography. The results were astonishing. The crystals formed from water exposed to the words love and gratitude were clear, attractive, and symmetrical. And the crystals formed from I hate you were distorted, asymmetrical, and opaque. Over and over again, water samples exposed to positive intention formed the hexagonal snowflake-like patterns indicative of structured water found in nature. And samples exposed to negative intention would lose its structure and mutate, which was also found to be true with samples of polluted water. Decades of repeated experiments have clearly shown that water is transformed when exposed to human word, thought, and sound. Dr. Emoto theorized that this is because water has consciousness. Russian studies have shown that water is imprinted by the energy of its environment, and it retains memory from everything it comes in contact with, even when separated. During the discovery of the genome, Dr. Bruce Lipton was studying cellular behavior at Stanford University and discovered that our genes switch on or off based on their environment. Human beings are made of about 50 trillion cells, and each cell is its own little creature that eats, digests, reproduces, and forms communities. Each individual cell is constantly reading the quality of its environment through its outer membrane skin. This includes stressful emotions sensed via chemicals in the bloodstream. And when we are stressed, negative, or fearful, then our cells will switch into their own version of fight or flight mode. They will stop the process of self-healing and begin the process of self-defense. And conversely, when we are feeling positive emotions, our cells will be switched into self-healing and the body will thrive. Dr. Lipton's discoveries were ignored by modern science, who opted for drugs and surgery over love and happiness. This began the field of epigenetics and answered the question of nature versus nurture. Experiments have shown that a living creature will thrive on a genetic level when nurtured. Malignant tumor cells have been reversed, and many people claim to have cured themselves of all sorts of disease, including cancer, by shifting and maintaining their mental attitude into a positive one. Official science will predictably call this spontaneous remission, but it is well documented. The cell protects itself by its membrane, which has a coating of negatively charged sugar crystals in a suspension of water. Most people think of water as being very special because of its ease of existence in three different states: liquid, ice, and vapor. But the water in our body is not in any of these states. The water that makes up our cells is in the gel state. Science is now recognizing a fourth state of water, known as the gel state, or structured water. This fourth state is an electropolar state, whereas some of the water becomes a negatively charged gel, and the rest, known as bulk water, maintains a positive charge and remains more like a liquid. This electropropulsion creates movement and kinetic energy. This is how the blood is moved throughout our body. The latest evidence shows that the blood is pumping the heart, not the other way around. And it's the gel state water that propels the blood. To thrive, this natural propulsion system requires a connection to the earth, sunlight, positive human connection, and peace of mind. Your body is made up of over 50 trillion cells, and each one's health is dependent upon your own. Our happiness, or lack thereof, not only affects our health, it affects the health of everyone who enters our environment. So if you'd like to make the world a better place, then learn how to be happy. Greg Reese reporting.
Yeah, you know, kind of general cool vibe. Like, this is where I go back to, by the way, before I forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, I saw, and someone in the chat was asking, where are the links to subscribe and donate? I just added them below. They should be below now. If you look down below in the description, you should be it. And they're basically these links you see right here. This is like, so basically,
What I think is probably the easiest thing for people is $75, right? $75 for the entire year. You go to gregreeshearsubstack.com, $75 for the entire year, and you just keep the Reese, you know, that, because I'm not going to be doing these, you know, if I do this again, I'll do it a year from now, but I don't plan on spending any time in 2026 trying to hustle money and ask for funds or do anything like that. I plan on another year of focusing on the Reese Report and other things. Like, that's the thing also is I'm going to definitely take more of a focus on Substack than I have been. Like, I've been actually spending a lot of time on X. I need to spend more time on Substack because Substack is where I have my ultimate voice. You know, YouTube, I have to watch what I say on YouTube. You know, certain subjects I can't talk about. I mentioned it recently. I mentioned a mass killing event recently, stuff like that. Substack, no problem. Substack, I can talk about that stuff all day long. I can use all the naughty words. You know, Substack's been pretty good. Celia told me about it. Celia was able, that saved her career as well. She had nowhere to go. The cancellations is what sent it, you know, and it's been like, I've been at Substack for a few years now. And I remember from the beginning, it felt very precarious, you know. It was like, I wonder, can you hear me? Yeah, I think so. It's very precarious, but it's managed to be along. Okay, I was a little distracted there. I was looking at, okay, I got the thing on YouTube up, and I added them in the comments under the X. So if you're seeing the X, that's my routine thing. That's what we're here for. We're here to try to save the Reese Report, actually. Is that a dramatic title? Yeah, it's a little dramatic, you know. I learned from the best, you know. I was doing ads for Infowars for 5 years, you know. You know, breaking exclusive, you know. Save the Reese Report, you know. Is the Reese Report, if I don't get the support I need, you know, the Reese Report will go on in some capacity. I guess the big thing is, the big deciding factor here at the end of 2025 is, do I have enough support to go and exclusively on the Reese Report, or do I have to start, you know, focusing on work elsewhere? And I can understand that's where it is for a lot of people. Do you guys eat food? Do any of you guys eat food? Isn't it insane how the grocery bills are these days compared to just, I don't know, a year or two ago? It's nuts. I feed a single mouth, and I'm basically like, I'm feeding, it seems like I'm spending what families spend. That's a first. So I know we're all in this crazy boat together. How much longer can it last? The thing is about money is when people run out of money, and I mean run out of money, where you have no more money, where maybe you had all your savings in a bank, a big chunk of money, and they wake up and it's gone, and there's no food to buy. That's when you see, like in Sri Lanka, we saw that happen a few years ago, where it looked like every single citizen were out in the streets working as one big wave mob, you know, running into government buildings. And we just recently saw it, like politicians were like stripped naked and run through the streets and humiliated, stuff like that. That's, I think I see a people here saying joined. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I just need to talk about it more. Really, I swear to God, I really do thank you. Like, that's the biggest thing about this is to give thanks, because I didn't, like a year ago, I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. A year ago, I was prepared. Well, I was making preparations. I guess it was probably going to be I would video edit for someone else. It was probably what I was going to try to do. Which I knew, like I said, I know I can get that work. But thanks to my subscribers on Substack, I was able to just focus on the Reese Report. Oh, yeah. When people go broke, they burn it all down. So I don't think that the U.S. power structure wants us to all go broke. I don't think they want us to lose our shit like that. I think that you could say that they want a civil war. You know, that's something that people throw around quite a bit. I think even that would make them a bit nervous, because even that makes things a bit unpredictable. And, you know, yeah, they can just declare martial law, and they would, and sure, I'm not going to argue with you there. But they don't want everyone to look at them. They don't want everyone to blame, you know, their best patsies, at least not right now. I don't think they do right now. So I think that the plan is to get this AI crypto thing up and running in a way that's transitions in a way that maybe they have a game planned out to where we all go broke for like a minute, you know, hours, maybe 24 hours, maybe overnight. And then the solution comes in the form of this new crypto. All you got to do is click, I accept your biometric thing so we can keep it all safe and protected. I accept the digital ID. I don't think you're going to need an implant. I don't think you're going to need a chip. I think that was all put out there to sort of make us think that we would, so that when it turns out it was as easy as just saying, I agree, you know, because that's all they need. All they need is for you to agree to their terms and conditions, which is really not much different from what they already have. You know, the only difference is basically the biometric part, you know, that links it all together. And then I could even see them doing that with giving us more money, because if, like, I've been into crypto since it came out, you know, since 2009. I wish, like everyone says, I wish I would have invested in it. I've gotten better at it, but for many years, I've had a very poor minded, like a starving artist, paycheck to paycheck, living under poverty lifestyle. And so I always thought you needed like thousands of dollars to invest in anything. I wasn't thinking back in like 2010 when I was researching Bitcoin, talking about Bitcoin, and even saying, man, I really wish I had some Bitcoin. It didn't occur to me back then that I could buy like $5 worth of Bitcoin. You know, back then, I mean, I could have scraped up $100, you know, and I just wasn't thinking that like $100 investment was going to make me a billionaire. And at the time it would have, you know, I just wasn't, that's not something my mind comprehended at all. Anyways, why did I talk about that? Oh yeah. But now I think crypto is, was created by the big banks, and it was all part of the plan. And they wanted to, Bitcoin especially, they wanted it to be, have the appearances of being internationally accepted, out of nowhere. No one owns it, completely decentralized currency. I think it will probably be the battery that feeds the rest of the crypto economy. And I don't think it matters that the crypto economy isn't, this thing isn't built to last a long time. I think it's just expected to operate for a decade or two up until the cataclysm, which I think is coming. And, but anyways, yeah, I don't think they're going to make us go broke and poor. So, you know, take that $75 you have and subscribe to the Reese Report, you know, for a year. Save the Reese Report for just $75, folks. And then you get to hear my weekly rants on the podcast, which is basically me just doing what I'm doing right now, just kind of rambling on, you know, being real, you know. I'm so real, that's all I can be, folks. You know, I wish if I had someone, if I worked for like a marketing person, they'd be nagging at me and bitching at me all day long because I'm not doing the right things to maximize my whatevers, you know, and to do the thing to make the green, you know. That's what I need you guys for, you know. If it wasn't for you guys, I'd be back to starving artistville, you know. So, yeah, right there. And if $75 seems like, if you're a big roller and you're like, $75 doesn't do nothing, then you can go down below where it says, actually the link isn't there, but the link should be below to donate. If you can't find them, they're on Reese. See how bad I am with this? I did my best. This is my best. I think I did pretty good with the trees. I think the trees look pretty sweet, especially when the video's kind of playing behind them. I wasn't expecting that. That looks pretty cool. But ReeseReport.com, if you scroll down to the bottom of ReeseReport.com, there'll be a place to donate. If you have Bitcoin, if you are a Bitcoin high roller, then you can, I have my Bitcoin wallet on my X.com, up above on my X.com. But anyways, enough about that. Money, 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 money. But seriously, the trees look pretty good. And they're goofy, too. And it's, you know, O Tannenbaum. That's the kind of thing you want to look at this year, because that's like a blessing. It's like the evergreen is a sign of hope that you'll not only make it through the winter, but you'll thrive. You know, you'll thrive for the winter like an evergreen. So blessings to you, O Tannenbaum, all the blessings of O Tannenbaum and the evergreen to you and your family. And thank you. Thank you all. Seriously, though, thank you. I do have exclusive videos for people on the paywall. And I know I need to make more. For a while there, that's how the only way I was able to get the support, I think. But I haven't really put out many in a while. And I know I need to put out more. And a lot, it's been, for the past few months, it's been, you know, one of the things, if what I'm grateful for the most is that because of you, I've had the time to heal. Like, a lot of you guys know this. A lot of you guys have heard me on the podcast several months ago bitching and complaining about life, about food. I didn't know what to eat. I've tried many diets, and they get so frustrating to me. They got so frustrating to me that I would just bail. And when I bail, that would mean I would eat out. I would eat takeout every night and drink alcohol. And when I was in Russia, smoke cigarettes. Not in terrible excess, you know. Probably the way that, I don't know, your average human on Earth does, even, you know. But I just have a body that doesn't tolerate it very, very well. And so after, I don't know, probably a year. Like, the whole thing of quitting InfoWars really shook me up. Really shook me up emotionally. I'm not going to lie. Had a lot of anger. Had a lot of anger inside of me. I have very little anger about it. There's still a little bit of personal stuff, but it's very little now. Thanks to my Substack. Thanks to the people, the generous, incredible people out there that appreciate my work and want to support me, because I need, if I didn't take the time that I needed, I would have just gone deeper into the whiskey, you know, or the cheap stuff, probably, you know, bad news. But I didn't. I was able to go through a period of detox. I basically treated my life as if I checked into a detox center, you know. I did like a two week juice fast, preparing for a gallbladder cleanse, which, you know, people can say this or that about, but it's still a great excuse to just put your body through this cleansing process, eventually leading to carnivore. The main goal was to get back onto carnivore. I know some people have their opinion. Everyone's got their opinions about food, and everyone's got a different diet. You know, I can't imagine. I've been so focused on trying to find a healthy way to eat. I've tried so many different things. One thing that I've learned for sure is that what's good for me is not good for you. You know, what's good for you is not. It might be. You might find people that have the same things that are good for. Sure, but this whole religious argument about the subject of eating, it's ridiculous. It's a very personal thing. But I knew from past experiences that of all the diets I've tried, the one that made me feel like I was on the road to strength and healthiness the most was what most people call carnivore. I guess I would call more like a zero carb diet, because I'm not terribly like religious about it. Like, I'll have olive oil and stuff like that on it. You know, I'll buy cheese seasoned with jalapeno occasionally and stuff like that, you know. So I know that's not carnivore. But zero carb. And I was on it. The first time I was on it, it was life-changing. I felt like, Greg, if you keep doing this, you'll heal from these things you've been dealing with. And I didn't. I went back off of it. And then when I went back off of it, I found it very difficult to get back on it. Every time I tried getting back on it, I would feel sick to my stomach, and I just couldn't do it. And so anyways, I was able to take the time this year, like I said, put myself through this detox center and, you know, first do the juice fast and then regular fast and then started getting onto a fat diet, fat adapted diet. It took several weeks until I started feeling good. And I'm now at the point where I think I'm pretty fat adapted and I'm feeling better. And I realize now that I'm here, this is just the beginning. It's now going to be a process of continuation to heal from things. Like, I don't go to the doctor. I used to think I was a little crazy for that, but I've never trusted any system. Like when I was a toddler, from a very young age, from my earliest memories, I questioned everything, and I thought that the government and organized religion and the doctor, that they were all like evil, sinister forces that were lying to me and everyone else. And when I would question these things, most of my family would get upset and triggered. My mother was always entertained, but yeah. And then as I got older, I thought I must be just one of those crazy people. And maybe I'll walk around carry a placard someday. I don't know. But then COVID happened and I realized I'm not a crazy person. I just had good instinct. I had a good I had a good bead on the situation, you know. Like I said, I was able to read the room. And so anyways, I'm glad I never trusted doctors. I'm glad I haven't gone to doctors. But it makes me, I have to come up with stuff on my own, you know, do my own research, be my own doctor. And I would say that if I were to go to a doctor over the past few years, it would be things like they would say your cortisol levels are high. You're showing pre-diabetic symptoms. They would say things about insulin resistance, right? And I'll tell you what, thanks to this diet, I think primarily the diet, because I've done the diet before. This is my second experience with it, and I've tried everything else. Primarily, it's the diet that is taking care of these symptoms. I don't have to go to a doctor to know that if I went today, he probably wouldn't say anything about cortisol levels or insulin resistance or pre-diabetes. He'd probably be like, yeah, you're looking pretty good, you know? So that's thanks to you guys. That's thanks to the Substack. Because Substack, you guys come with a kind of like a health plan where I could afford to like have like shit days. Like for there was a in the heart of this time I'm talking about, this is probably 2 months ago. 2 months ago, it was like almost, I was still working. I didn't not do Reese reports, but it felt like I was. It felt like I checked out of reality. And I thank God I did, because I'm on the right track again now and I'm feeling pretty good. And as I'm going through the videos, that's pretty much all I picked out was videos like the, you know, groovy ones, positive ones. You know, they want you to be afraid and they want you to be stuck in doom. Why? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to read some comments. William O'Brien, your report on Netflix, Bernays, and Freud was great. Also, the Dew reports and many others like the transhumanist crap in the Vox. Very sinister reporting, but very important. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about, William. And those were always, I didn't finish the thought I was going to say about the Charlie Kirk stuff. Yeah, those are my favorite things. And those are the ones that get the most hits. That Netflix Bernays one is probably got 3 million views on just a single channel. So that's definitely one of the biggest popular ones. The Dew reports are some of my favorite ones because they're just so crazy. If you want to know what my favorite stories are, this is how I pick stories. I first look for stories that are so crazy sounding, it's like you're thinking there's no way that's real. That's what I'm first looking for. Novelty, I guess you could say. Novelty. I want that novelty factor to be off the charts. I want my mind to be blown. I enjoy the feeling of that. It is what it is. Then I find those. And then when I find those, then the second thing you do is you got to look and you got to see, is this bullshit? Or does this seem to check out? And so in order for it to check out, I guess it depends. If it's super crazy, well, no, no matter how crazy it is, I usually like to find at least three sources that aren't all connected. Because a lot of times it's just one source and all the other sources are just repeating that one source. And then sometimes that's all you have, and sometimes you might move forward. But in those cases, what you have to do is you have to then look at that one source And you have to then look to see if they've ever been caught bullshitting before. And if they haven't, and you want to see a history. You want to see that they have a history of putting stories out there without a history of bullshitting. And if those two things check off, then you could go with that. But anyways, yeah. And if I wanted to get more millions of views right now, then I would, I know I could do that with reports on Charlie Kirk and stuff like that. You know, Macron's wife having a penis, you know, chicks with dicks. These stories sell. They get a lot of traction. But that's not really what we're trying to do with the Reese Report. What we're trying to do is we're trying to provide, when we started, we were trying to provide summarized nuggets of information that had links for people to go deeper down the rabbit hole. And these were provided not to wake people up, because I don't think it's possible to wake someone up. I think only you can choose to look at a thing differently. Only you can choose to open your mind. So only you can choose to wake yourself up. But for people that have made that choice, and for people that have decided to look at things differently, the Reese Report was there to provide a quick, concise rundown of this particular thing. You know? Like William is saying, the Netflix Bernays Freud thing. It was a 5-6 minute video, something thereabouts, on that subject of modern day propaganda and its history to propaganda all the way back. And then also sort of the type of mind control that they're doing, which is usually sexual-based, because it appears as if you were to ask me my best guess as to what this whole thing is, I would say we were born on a farm, a human farm, and obviously breeding is a huge part of the farm. Like most farms, breeding is you know, one of the top five, you know, events on that farm. And as far as the specific details, who knows, but there seems to be a, you know, massive history of modifying the human through breeding and genetics and whatever. So, yeah. So, obviously, sex is going to be... They want to keep everyone sexually hungry, that's for sure, for whatever reason they have here. That's just what I would guess, though. I mean, I don't know. Do I know that we're on a farm? Do I know that there's some species, something that's not human that... you know, has the documents to prove. Let's put a little lighting on. Do I know that? No. Because I don't have a source that hasn't been caught lying that is saying, making that claim. You know? I don't have that. But that's just what I think. And I think that there's a cataclysm coming, some type of geological event that... that at least someone at the highest levels knows about, and that's what they're preparing for, and that would explain everything that's happening. They're trying to get the surface ready for them to go move into their underground lair and prepare. I don't think it has to be as dramatic as Hollywood movies. In Russia, one of the things I learned when I was in Russia is that they don't tell the people, the common people, like, don't get me wrong, Russian media is propaganda too, for sure. I think the Russian government clearly doesn't hate their people, but I don't think it's about hate. It's about an agenda, and it seems clear that the agenda in Russia is for the people to thrive. They want more people, and they're being told publicly that there's going to be a poll shift. The poll shift that a lot of us have been looking at for 20 years, you know, they talk about the polls are moving in this direction, and every year they're moving faster and faster and faster and blah, 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 is old news. In Russia, the people are being told that is happening in our lifetime, and that when it happens, they're going to get new, fresh land that's going to thaw out. And you can go on YouTube right now and you can look this up, and you'll see that the Russian Federation are spending billions of dollars on what they believe is going to be the new trade route up in the Arctic Circle, preparing for this thaw, preparing for this pole shift. The Russian Orthodox Church has prophecies that they're telling the people about this. So this is going to happen, and Russia is going to become a refuge for people all over the world. That's quite a different vibe than America. America, it's all basically like, there's too many of you, you need to die, everything's going to shit, the world's going to end, you know? So Edgar Cayce predicted some event and showed the coastlines were going to be gone in North America, not a worldwide catastrophe, but more localized to North America and Europe, Western Europe. There was also a Navy map that was released, supposedly classified Navy map that was leaked out decades ago. That shows a very similar situation. And then there was the Whitley Strieber book that was made into a movie, The Day After Tomorrow, which is all based off of both scientific data that still seems to add up, which is the melting of ice glaciers, adding fresh water into salt water, which changes the Gulf Stream, which creates like a mini ice age that affects mostly North American coasts. It all comes together from the way I see it. I do pattern recognition. It's kind of my thing. And I've been recognizing these patterns for, I think the cataclysm is the biggest secret in secret societies. I think it's the main job for the secret societies is to come out during these events and manage it. This time they hope to have robots and AI data centers. You know? That's what I think's happening. But anyways, what do I know? I think I'd like to do a Reese Report documentary, like a full-length documentary on that. Because I can get pretty deep on it. It's one of my personal life, in my personal time, my mind is constantly doing that. Why? Why, Greg? Why is this happening? What's the reasons? Why? I find that to be a very valuable question to have because you can gauge your planning on it and your decision-making can be, and you can come up with, I think that's a pretty safe bet. I think you could say the only way you can argue against it is to say, they're lying. They want you to think it's a cataclysm. Yeah, and that's a tough one to argue because it's really, written in stone, the whole thing. Like, the pyramids, the answer to the pyramids seems to be that there's a cyclical event that comes and shakes the earth to its core, shakes the sandbox, starts all over again, and the pyramids were built to withstand that. But anyways. Let's talk about, that's 2026, yeah. So, thank you. I can see people saying they've joined, and I really, really honestly appreciate that. This is a dream come true. Because, like I said, I'm no good at business, and I'm not anti-business. I'm no communist. Don't get me wrong. I am no communist. I love the freedom that we do have tremendous freedom in America, business-wise. Like, for example, Russia. I like to sing lots of songs about Russia, and I do. I think I might even have a Russian soul from, a past life. That's, got nothing. I love but that's all about the people, the Russian people and the Russian culture. In Russia, you can't just start your own business. You need to, in some ways, it's not even that bad, though. Their tax scheme is pretty good. You could even argue starting businesses and all that is better there, actually, now that I'm talking about it. Okay, let's take Russia out of the picture. New Zealand. I lived in New Zealand for a year as a carpenter. And in New Zealand, you cannot just start your own business. New Zealand, you have to be state-sponsored. And it's almost a monopoly on everything. So, for example, drywall, super expensive drywall in New Zealand as a builder. Tough shit. That was the argument. The argument that I had, the guys from the UK, the guys from Ireland, that we would have with the Kiwis is, why don't you just start your own drywall business then, and undercut these people and make a ton of money. And, it's like, no, mate, it's not that easy, mate. I don't think I can do the Kiwi. Zen. I can't do it. No, you got to be in with the government. And the Kiwi government's not, they would not be my friend, So anyways, what am I saying? What I'm saying is, don't be if you're a Kiwi, I understand you might be tight for money. But, otherwise, come on. You got that $75, subscribe for 1 year, done. For an entire year's worth of blessing. 365 days of a not just a survival, but of an opportunity for the Reese Report to do its best work, to focus completely on getting the job done. And what is that job? Like I said, I was talking about the Charlie Kirk thing. I was talking about that's. I don't think that's the important story. That's the popular story right now. And I'm not saying anything. I'm not being judgmental if it's entertaining to you. How can it not be entertaining? Seriously. And I know it's dark, but, you know, a lot of us are over that. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where life has to consume life. You know, that's how you live. You live because you have to somehow consume life. And that's like the main thing, you know, Hakuna Matata, you know. So it's a weird place right off the get-go. You could even say it's a bit of a brutal reality, you know. You could even say it's already Valhalla, you know. And it's excellent that people are waking up to the evil and the detriment of Israel and Zionism. But it's also important to know that that is the plan. The biggest support of Zionism that exists is from a certain sect of American Christians who believe in this biblical prophecy that involves Israel and Gog and Magog and all that stuff. And according to their belief system, the entire world has to turn against Israel. So, yeah, is it good? Is it good for the entire world to wake up and realize that the shit that's happening in Israel is totally heinous and ugly and evil? Yes. You're not going to get me saying it's not a good thing. Like, it shows that at least people have a heart and people don't like to see genocides. That's good. But it's easy for me to stay away from it to a certain extent because of what I just said, because it's like, yeah, that's part of the plan. Their whole weird thing ain't going to happen unless the whole world turns against Israel and kills 2/3 of the Jews. You know, they don't say Zionists. They don't say kill any Zionists. They say 2/3 of the Jews. And that's why I don't get down on the Jews, because in my opinion, all the people that are saying, no, it's all the Jews, it's all the Jews, those are Zionists. Or they're the useful goyim, the useful idiots of the Zionists, because that's Zionist game. That's total Zionist game. You can say here in the comments, I hear the Jewish religion worships the devil. They call, well, so do all three of them. You know? If Yahweh is your God, if Jehovah, and this is going to trigger a lot of people, so we won't talk about it because we're not here to trigger people. This is Thanksgiving. But I'm just being real. If you look at who Yahweh and Jehovah is, you know, you could argue that Yahweh and Jehovah is a dragon, you know, which I would argue is what, you know, same thing that people are saying is the devil. But even if you don't say it's the devil or a dragon, it was an asshole. Or is an asshole. You know, it's like, it's really concerned about power. It's paranoid that people aren't going to be loyal to it. And it's into virgin sacrifice and gold. I mean, it sounds just like a shitty human, like a parasite, like a vampire. Or dragon, really. It sounds like a dragon. And so you can dog out, you know, that one religion all you want. But what do they say? You got one finger pointing and you got three pointing back at me. I grew up Catholic. And there's two types of Catholics, I think. There's the Catholic who recognizes the absolute depths of darkness in the Catholic Church and how it's complete subversion, complete inversion of what it says to be. And not only that, but it seems to be the most powerful institution on earth. Or you could be the type of Catholic that thinks it's the one true religion. And those people are good people. I'm not saying that. Most people are decent people, you know. Aleister Crowley said that the Catholic, or not just said, he's right. The Catholic, he pointed out that the Catholic Mass is the exact same as the OTO Mass, his occult mass, which is based on the ancient Egyptian mass, which is what Freemasons do, which is the blood, you know, drinking from the cup, which symbolizes the ambrosia from the menstrual blood from a female, you know, or other things that are pretty dark, but you get the idea when it comes to blood sacrifice rituals, the eating of the flesh, you know, it's not really very hidden. It's pretty much straightforward, you know. But it's amazing people are able to lie to themselves and deny, because it's the human ego is very This actually leads to a good video. We'll play another video and I'll shut up. This is a good segue because we don't want to get too much on this subject, especially with me, because it's like religion, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful forms of mind control. And it frustrates me to say that. It frustrates me to admit that because it's so, oh, it's been that way for so long. You'd think that we'd wise up after a while. Now, having a personal relationship with God or whatever, you might have a word that you use to when you're describing this thing that I'm talking about. I try not to. I've had certain words I've used in the past, and I've always been weary of the words because you can just feel it. But this is paramount, in my opinion. I don't know how you could be living your life without a personal connection. Like I say, I isolate all the time, and I'm a hermit, but I'm never alone. It's always me in this presence that I was born with. I was born feeling this presence of what some people might call God or whatever. And it's very humbling. And if it wasn't for this connection that I have, I would have be dead by now, for sure. And the most thanks I've ever given in my life, speaking of Thanksgiving, are moments where I know that I barely survived death. And it was by the grace of God, the grace of this divine light, the grace of this thing. This thing that doesn't mind if I'm calling it a thing. It doesn't have a personal, weird, bitchy-ass human ego, you know? What's cool about this thing is it really, all it is love. It ultimately wants the best of me, and it has infinite patience with me. It doesn't matter how many times I fuck up or do or make stupid mistakes or how bad they are, this thing is always there. It doesn't waste any time on that. It's always there, arms open, ready to forgive me, ready to love me, patiently waiting for me to calm the shit down and chill and be like, all right, I forgive myself and I'll move on and grow, you know? So, amazing stuff. But anyways, I'm not a religious person, but here's a good one.
The war against consciousness can be traced back to some of the oldest written texts we have. But the past century has been a whirlwind assault against the human spirit. In just 100 years, we went from being practically media free to having a screen in front of our face the majority of our waking lives. We are being herded into a virtual AI-run illusion that is now influencing our perception of what is real, which then creates our perceived reality. We know this to be true. Our senses give us the false impression that we are living in a material world when we are not. 99.9% of all matter is empty space. The only thing keeping us from walking through walls are the outer valence electrons electrostatically repelling against one another. Physical solidity is an illusion. What we are feeling with our touch is not solid matter. It is electrostatic repulsion. We do not see with our eyes. We see within our mind. The cones and rods in our eyes are exposed to a very limited band of information, which is then translated electronically to our brain's visual cortex, which then creates a visual map within our mind that allows us to see the world around us, just as we see the world around us as we sleep and dream. It's being perceived in our mind. This applies to all of our five senses. The world we inhabit is much more like a hologram than anything solid. And more importantly, so is our body and our brain. And if we are not of our bodies, then where are we? Who are we? These questions can lead us to liberation, which is why tyrants have toiled to keep us from ever asking them. For centuries, they used religion to make us feel small and dictate reality. And today, they use science and pop culture. Actual, repeatable science has shown that our awareness has sway over the holographic reality that we inhabit. We can continue to fight each other, and some may win the battle. But the war against consciousness will forever continue until we unplug from the system.
The deeper into tyranny we are herded, the more of us awaken to the truth.
It's gonna force the people that can still think for themselves and have common sense and are able to take the media needle out of their veins, whether it's your baseball team or the football team, and the stats and the thing, and the Democrat and Republican and left wing, right wing, this, and then a MAGA hat, Black Lives Matter, and gender and LGBTQ too, and homophobia. If you can get that needle out of you, and then eventually clear your mind and let the real soul start to live again.
Yeah.
And once the soul of humanity begins to live again, the tyranny will end and humanity will evolve. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Hey. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think those trees look pretty cool when the video's playing. Yeah. All right, so what do I think is coming for 2026? Let's chat about that for a bit. I kind of talked about when I first got into this and then what I got into the Reese Report in 2018. Got the job at InfoWars with the whole point was trying to help out with this awakening. And then 2020 happens. And it wasn't immediate, obviously. You know, I say pre-2020 and post-2020. It wasn't immediate, obviously, but over the next couple of years, I think it was really 21, 22. 22 was the year, probably, where it all started soaking in. And what do I mean by all started soaking in? I mean, like, because the biggest thing about Q, when I got into Q originally, the biggest thing was that I'm pretty well-traveled. I got around the world. I've been around the world since I was a kid. I military at a point, and then just traveling for fun. And when I do, I like to talk to people. I'm a pretty social person, and I don't. My experience is, yeah, I've met some monsters. Don't get me wrong, I for sure have. I've been close. I've had them close to me in life, but it seems like most people are good people, you know. And so I just thought that it's only natural that there would be enough people everywhere, even in government and military, that would quietly group together and opposition to this thing that's so obviously happening and so obviously exists. And really, when the more you look at it, you realize this is just the way it is. Like, we probably live on a farm, and that's why everything's bullshit, because it's the story. Excuse me, it's the story like in The Matrix, you know? And that's what post-2020 is. Post-2020 is realizing, like, for example, nurses that we're taking bonuses that would have been like probably just several hundred dollars, maybe up to $1,000, to put their patients on like remdesivir and the breather thing, right? Knowing that a patient was going to die, knowing that they were going to get cut in on this bonus money. That shit was happening. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not like I'm not stunned that the government is willing to kill people. That doesn't surprise me in the least. It doesn't stun me that doctors even, like, that doesn't even really surprise me. But the idea that nurses, and not just a few, like, it seemed like there was a bunch. I don't think I'm exaggerating. That's the kind of shit that got me like, oh, Greg, you were wrong. You were wrong about people. And it's not people worldwide. And I think in Russia learned enough from having, you know, 20 million killed by their government that you don't, it's not a good idea to put your faith in government, you know, as far as your life is concerned. You know, they do have that sort of figured out, I think. And American people don't, you know. So, but the Reese Report is about trying to put out what's most timely and important for the time being. And lately, I think the most timely important thing for people to know about is the digital ID system that we're really already in. We're, you know, right now it's just really waiting for the, I don't think there's going to be an official, like, we're there, except maybe with the economy. When the economy officially shifts, I guess that'll be the moment when it shifts from USD to crypto AI. And if you do some research in this, there is no evidence that shows that that's what the, that the government's doing anything but that. Like, that is the only thing that's happening. There is no plan B. The idea that there is like some gold-backed kind of old-school system, there's no evidence of that. There's no laws being passed to allow that. There's no actions happening in the behind the scenes to back that up. But what there is plenty of evidence that they're getting ready for this AI crypto thing. And they're telling you that, too. And that's where everyone's leveraged. So that's coming. And well, I guess once that comes, it'll be in the system. But what does that mean for all of us? It really depends, I think, on where you live. If you live in New York City and you're not willing to leave New York City, then you'll get a front row seat for digital AI crypto world, you know. You'll get the latest, greatest technologies when it comes to that. If you're living like in an area where I'm living, more out in the whatever you want to call it, small town America, not so much then, you know. We'll know when we get there. Is there gonna be a black market world? Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's gonna be a black market. There always will be. Well, you know. Or a certain crypto set up for that. It really ultimately comes down to offer and acceptance, like it always has, in my opinion. It's always offer and acceptance. This system that we were born into, you could say that our parents were the first ones to accept the offer with, like, the birth certificate, you know, that contract. And I'm more open to that. I think we were born into it. I think that there's a legitimate argument in a court of law for some entity to put forth a document that shows that they own us. You know, they owned the genetics that we were created from, and they own the infrastructure that we were breeded upon, and they own the infrastructure that creates the food that we eat, you know? And I think the way to find that, you got to go through the Vatican probably ultimately. That's my guess. People say the Jesuits are the main managers. I don't think you can really argue with that. It's interesting. There's not a shit ton of evidence to back that up, but it's one of those things that just makes the most sense because it seems like, well, that's the way it was in Rome, and it's probably the way it still is. Like, when did that ever change? All right. We'll peruse the comments. But the thing is, the good news is the good news is that to try to help get this message out, it'll just cost you $75 a year. You can sign up here for all of 2026. 2026 is going to be a crazy ride. In 2026, we're going to want also, I'm going to need your help too. Like, I feel like I need to be plugged in more. There was, when I first started doing this, I got plugged in really quick. I got, like I said, I've got good radar. I can read bullshitters pretty good. And I can also read the genuine article, I think, pretty good too. So early on in this, on social media, when I had all my social medias, I was fairly new at social media. I wasn't really big into social media until I started the Reese Report. Then I got into it. And I found several people to weed through there. And I was able to, you know, out of all the people that were actively sending me things, like, look at this, look at this, look at this, this is interesting, this is interesting, this is interesting. I was quickly able to find, you know, certain sources that were consistently sending things that I considered to be very interesting. And mainly those out of those people that send me things that I first saw through them, things I haven't seen. Sources, I guess. I guess that's what people call sources. If I was a journalist, I suppose I would call that a source. So I had some pretty good ones for the first several years. But since I've made this shift, this post-2020 shift of realizing that that this so-called Great Awakening has been, in many ways, engineered and contrived because they knew they can read the stars. And they know it was coming. But in many ways, I also think I do think that the preparation for the cataclysm involves getting those of us on the surface that are going to be innovative and try to survive on our own. I think they want to give us enough time to get to know each other a little bit and to make some plans. I don't think they want, I don't think they hate us. I don't think there's a situation where it's like they hate us. I think they're hurting us and raising us for a reason. I'm not saying they're doing it for food. I'm not saying they're doing it to eat us. Maybe. I don't know. I think they have a reason for it. I don't think they hate us. It's just the same like we don't hate the cows that we raise. I love beef. I love beef more than I love most people because beef is such a giving kind thing, you know? So delicious and healthy, really, especially you get the grass-fed beef. You know, like, it's like the best friend in the world. So I don't think anyone hates us. So I do think there's, and if you look at like how the vaccines have targeted the compliant and like the uneducated, the ones that are, who don't bother to try to like, you know, think critically, it's interesting. So it's almost like they want us to survive. They want us to be alive. Give us a fighting chance. I'm just going to glance through these comments here. So don't mind me. Maybe I'll play a video while I'm reading comments and catching up on comments. Here's another video I chose. This is probably the closest one to... Well, this is the dark side. This gets into the dark side of the spiritual war that we're in. And the work of Mark Passio. And I've been a fan of Mark Passio since probably 2012 was the first time I caught onto his work. Through my friend Freeman, probably. And I'm a big fan of Passio. I think Passio really can summarize the main issue. And, you know, whether you agree or not, I don't know. I like it. So this is De Facto Satanism, my sort of five-minute thing on his work.
This video is based on the work of Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Specifically, his recent video on De Facto Satanism. Today's Hollywood pop culture machine will have you believe that Satanists wear robes and practice ritualistic blood sacrifices while worshiping Satan. And while there may be some truth to this, it is mostly propaganda meant to conceal the reality of what Satanism actually is. True Satanism is a mindset, and the Satan that is worshipped is within each and every one of us. It is most commonly known as our ego. The self is the true god of Satanism. The term Satanism is used to deceive religious people, to appear harmless to non-religious people, and also because it stems from the Hebrew word shatan, which means adversary. Satan is the force of involution that opposes true spiritual evolution. It is the ego within us. Left to our own devices, the ego will try and convince us to think only of ourselves, which is exactly what Satanism is. And so, a de facto Satanist is a person who holds this mindset, but does not consider themselves to be a Satanist. Organized Satanism stands against this sort of enlightenment. They believe human psychology and the laws of nature should be kept occulted or hidden from the public, and used to gain and retain power over the masses by keeping them ignorant as to how the mind and emotions work, while using this knowledge to manipulate the masses and ultimately enslave them. This is primarily done by cultivating the Satanist mindset among the masses, thereby turning the ignorant and unaware into a de facto Satanist. As we think, so we become. This mindset can be broken down into four main tenets of Satanism. The first and most important is selfishness, egotism, or what many know as narcissism. Self-preservation is the highest law. Live only for your own selfish desires and only care about you and yours. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and if you must step on others to get what you want, then so be it. This is the basis of satanic thinking. The second tenet of the Satanist mindset is moral relativism. This is the belief that there is no objective difference between right behavior and wrong behavior. It is the belief that nobody is ever objectively right or wrong, and that it's up to each individual person to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. The third tenet of Satanism is social Darwinism, This is the belief that it is natural and good for human society to be ruled by the most aggressive and dominant humans among us, and that it is by virtue of their genetics that these vicious humans deserve to be in positions of power and lead humanity as they so choose. The fourth tenet of Satanism is eugenics, or dysgenics. This is the ideal conclusion of the Satanist mindset. Since man is God, and he gets to decide what is right and what is wrong, and since the natural order is for the most dominant genetics to have power, then the elite class ruling over us has every right to decide who is allowed to live and procreate and who must die. This is how all of society is conditioned to think. And this is how the high-level Satanists are leading all of humanity into slavery. Most of humanity is operating under this de facto satanic mindset, which is why it is called the Great Work to change it. The Great Work is the work of awakening the masses to the true nature of the ego mind, encouraging each and every individual to find the courage to face their own inner shadow and to practice natural law. Natural law is the respect of others. Put simply, it is love. If the majority of humanity is practicing love, then humanity will know freedom. But if the majority of humanity is practicing Satanism, then humanity will be enslaved. You can find much more of this information at whatonearthishappening.com. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I've been checking out the comments, so good stuff. We'll get into that. Yeah, I love Passio's work. Once again, folks, I really appreciate you guys. I really do. This is going to be, these trees look so cool, I think. It's kind of sad that you're not going to get this again for another year, but you're not. The plan here is to get enough people to sign up right here for a year, $75. It ain't much, you know, that's a bag of weed for you. I know you guys, come on. Well, maybe you don't smoke. How many beers is that? I don't know. Food. It's about a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk right there, $75. But those things aren't good for you. I'd stay away from the bread. And if you're going to drink milk, drink raw milk. But that's neither here nor there, folks. The thing is we're here to help save the Reese Report. It's happening. We appreciate you. If you haven't already, sign up here. $75 a year. It's hardly anything, and you're not going to get this ever. You know, I'm not going to say ever again. You know, hopefully we're all still kicking it in a year, and I'll do another one next year. But the idea of this is a one-time only. You're not going to get me selling any products on the show. You're not going to get me, you know, doing any, this episode is supported by whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying we like to keep it clean here. We like to keep it Reese Report only. So, and this is here, it's Substack Reese Report. Reese Report, Substack Reese Report. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really do thank you all. Really, really do thank you. Seriously. I'm feeling really good. I was talking earlier about how, thanks to my subscribers, I've been able to take care of myself, you know, de-stress, cleanse, get back into meditation. I didn't mention that. I've been back on my meditation cushion, you know, limbering up with some yoga hatha exercise, quieting the mind more, practicing gratitude more, you know, practicing mindfulness more, self-policing my mind. This is extremely important. And as I was self-policing my mind, I've recognized I have anger. And it's understandable, but I was able to like be aware of it, you know, and look at it and understand it, and see why I'm angry and what I'm angry about and what it's not accomplishing, and let it go, you know, and get back to a place where, you know, I don't even miss my whiskey, you know, don't even miss it. It's a good place. Music is a big part of it. Music's always been like my best medicine in this world. Always. Excuse me. Especially just holding it, even. Just holding, usually for me, it's a guitar or a banjo or a bass. Most commonly, an electric guitar. and just, you know, fingering it and strumming it and picking it and playing it and banging around, just holding it, you know. It's an amazing way to feel good and feel happy. I know some of you can relate. Most guitar players can relate. But you can look forward to that in 2026. 2026, there will be original music of mine, an entire album's worth at least, that'll be released. Some of you got a little snippet of it, and it's going to be quite different than that. It's going to be, I think it'll be a surprise either way. But a lot of fun. And there will also be at least one feature-length documentary in 2026 of mine. And we want to know what you want. Now that you're making the Reese Report possible, now that you've subscribed $75 for an entire year of the Reese Report operating internationally with no censorship, we want to know your thoughts on how we steer this ship. Now, I notice right here someone saying, I hope that you dump a person's subscription because you think that he wants to have sex with you. And it'll never happen. Now, I can't tell if that's a joke or not. This is something I'd like to know. Do you want me to police Substack comments? Do you want me to cancel people's accounts that are trolling? There are people. I'm aware of them. And I'll be more aware of them in 2026. I'll be honest, this is not something I like to admit. One of the reasons I haven't been very present in the Substack comment universe is because there's a lot of negativity in there that I don't like, and it triggers me, I guess. Pisses me off. If it was in real life, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my house. You know, if it was real life, it's easy. Get the fuck out of here, asshole. You know? Easy. Goes back all the way. I grew up in the 70s, kids. You know? It's how you do it in real life. It's no big deal. People need to learn how to be a decent person. But on the internet, some people just don't understand it. So I see this. But I just haven't made up my decision. Like, it's like, where do you draw the line? Where, like, this idea of freedom that I know it can't be. It's a cop out. So I'm admitting to you, I may be copping out this idea of freedom. Maybe I need to delete some accounts. Let me know. If that's the case, how do we do it? I'll look into it. I'm sure there's some kind of method that other people do. How do other people do it? If it's as easy as like, this person's an asshole, like if it was real life, I can do that. I can easily do that. If I were to just do it the way I would do it in real life, boom, 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 bada bing, bada boom, easy peasy. So let me know. You don't have to let me know right now. You don't have to let me know in this one. You can let me know and I will, I mean, you can. But anyways, that's something. I also saw here in the comments, someone said, oh, someone just said, I'm using foul language. Yeah, well, I'm just being real. Like I said, I'm not a TV personality. Okay, someone says, would love to hear your thoughts on who they are. Yeah, isn't that a funny one? That's what everyone, you know, I think it's a fun, interesting subject to think about, to ponder and talk about. But when you get into the actual intellectual process of that problem, of solving that problem, you quickly come to the realization that you will never solve that problem and that this thing is so dependent upon that. And it makes sense. The ones that are really operating this, they didn't have that operation from nothing, so it's like they know they have to be invisible. Their names aren't known. We don't know their names. We don't know their faces. They might not even be human. I would be surprised that they're human. You know, I just showed the Mark Passio thing, and that gets into dark occultists. And that's, so if you were to believe that it's human only, I find that very hard to believe. But let's go there. Let's say it's just humans, and it's always been just humans for as long as it's been humans. So is that not impressive? Does that not impress you? Is there not a part of you that is at least like, damn, that's impressive? Like, I don't get emotional. I don't get all butthurt about it. About like, oh, darn it. Fuck these guys, you know? Because I was born into it. Like, this isn't something I came to in adulthood. This is something I came to as a child. As early on as I had that relationship to a higher power, to the power of all and everything, I had this understanding that we were on some type of, I don't know exactly what the details are, but the ones running the place, they don't have our, you know, they see us as something that's not them. Like we see cows, you know? If I were to guess who they are, I would guess they are the farmers of humans, humans farmers, the ones talked about in the book of Genesis, the ones mentioned in Gilgamesh, the Sumerian texts. Some people like the word aliens. I don't like the word aliens. I just think they're non-humans. I think human beings, as we exist today, are a creation of these things. We are not the way we were originally in nature. We are a product of genetic modification. That's what I think. So how in the hell would I know who they are? What I notice, what I observe, is a lot of people want to know these answers. It's very important that they know these answers. And I guess they feel like they're in a position of weakness or something if they don't know these answers. That's not me. I'm perfectly fine admitting that I don't know these things. I don't mind not knowing, you know? I find it to be honestly kind of exciting, you know? Like, the fact is, I don't know exactly what we are. I don't know where we are, and I don't know why we're here. So life is a wonderful mystery. Now, I have ideas. I think I can speak for myself. I think I'm here to have specific experiences that I have been having. I believe the experiences that I've had in my life were predestined, and they were meant for me to get information and process, and then it's up to me to operate my human, to keep my human healthy enough and focused enough to where we can process that information and come up with, wisdom, I guess? Become a better person? I think the main thing we're learning to do here on Earth is to not feed off of each other, to learn how to live your life in a way that doesn't entail being a vampire, being a cannibal, manipulating other people to feed off of them in any way, you know? That, I think, is the main lesson. And I find it to be a very easy thing. You know, when I was a young kid, kindergarten, first grade, I did some bully stuff, you know, locked a kid in a locker, helped the other kids mentally torture individuals. And I learned vandalism, picking on adults through like anonymity and little gangs and stuff. So I'm not proud of these things, but I'm glad I did these things because after experiencing these, I learned that they don't feel good and I don't want to do them. You know, I have a pretty big heart. I do. Love is like one of my favorite words. And I want to be a more loving person in life. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to learn how to be more loving to myself, to be more loving to my human, to treat my human like how a person would treat like their best friend dog in the world, you know? And then to learn how to love those around me. So that's my main goal here. Everything else that's going on, like it's possible that that could be my spiritual goals and path, and I was still born on a human plantation that's owned by non-humans and we're being farmed for some reason. Are those two things not possible to have in the same reality? I think they are, you know? But, yeah, answer your question, I don't know. I don't know. He says, I agree with much of what you're saying, but we all have to have our own conclusions. Sure. I don't know if I've met anyone that you agree with everything on. I'd be very suspicious of a person like that. I would think that they were trying to get on my good side by being so agreeable. I do like agreeable conversation. I prefer having agreeable chats with people than arguing. So I pretty much, my friends are based on people that I find to be agreeable because I enjoy that. It's nice. But I think that's very smart. Like I said, I don't think, you'll never catch me saying, I told you so. You'll never be like, see, I've been saying this for 3 years. You should trust me. because I don't think you should trust me. Unless if we were personal friends and right now we were sitting in real life having dinner together and we were talking about doing something together, then yes, I would want you to trust me. And at that point, you know, there's a certain understanding that we've already bonded and we've already been friends and we've already gained that trust. That's what trust is. To try to apply that in this world is insane. That's what insane people do. And don't take it the wrong way if you've done it, because I think we're all insane. I know I have insanity about me. Insanity just means you're not perfectly wired and running perfectly excellent. I don't think any of us really are. I think some of us, you work hard enough, you work long enough at sort of squaring yourself away, you can get yourself pretty squared away. I've met some very squared away people, but are they perfect? I don't know. Yeah, so don't take my word for it. What I'm really good at anyways, like I said, in the very beginning of this podcast, I was talking about how I'm not an expert in politics. And anyone who comes to me thinking, oh, well, Greg's an expert in politics, I wonder if he knows. No, politics is garbage. Politics is like the bullshit that they want you to know, the bullshit that is being fed to you to talk about and fight each other about. And I am no expert in that. I'm pretty good at spotting a political agent. You know, they all got to push the vote, at least in some way, you know. But I'm an expert in like making videos and writing and telling stories and breaking stories down into quick summaries and stuff like that. So if you wanted to take my opinion on those subjects, I think I could stand firm and be like, I'm an expert. I'm just scanning through the comments here. We're probably going to wrap up. We're pretty much right there at the 2 hours I announced, but I didn't really get too much into these comments. What's my favorite guitar, someone asks? Well, I just recently ordered a guitar that I think is going to be my favorite guitar, but I don't have it yet. It's kind of it's my present to myself. Whatever is in my hands at the time is my favorite guitar. I learned at a young age not to have favorites with such special things. I've traveled light for most of my life. So for most of my life, I've always only had one instrument, whether it's a guitar or a bass or a banjo. I would always only have one because I didn't want any more that I couldn't pick up and carry at a moment's notice, because I would like move every year. I lived most of my life like that. So I always would have, and that guitar would change almost every year. Maybe every couple of years I would trade it in for something else. And then that would be my ex. And it wasn't really until the past year that I've actually invested in more than one instrument. And it's because of the album project. The album project requires not just a guitar, but a bass and a banjo and an acoustic guitar. Right? And so these tools, for the first time I've had multiple tools. So I guess the question would be, what's my favorite? Guitar, bass, banjo, acoustic guitar? I think the answer is electric guitar. That's the inner child in me. The inner child in me is the 12-year-old who grew up turning the amp as loud as it could go and listening to James Brown, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin. So yeah, electric guitar, I would say, is my favorite. Should learn about the stock market and how they're culling white families, transnational billionaires. Oh, yeah, someone else said why I don't talk about billionaires. I guess why don't I talk about billionaires? I guess I don't care. Like, I met a guy in a bar back when I was drinking whiskey here in Montana. And he triggered me, and I left the bar. I walked out. He started talking about killing all the billionaires. I think it was shortly after the Mangione kid, or whatever his name was, killed the billionaire. And I wasn't mad. A lot of people were mad that some billionaire got killed. I don't like to celebrate when anyone gets killed, but it didn't upset me. It upset me that I was sitting next to a guy who thought that it was so simple that all we had to do was kill all the billionaires and everything would be cool. That's what offended me about the conversation. If they said, let's kill the entire government. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm painting a situation here where I'm sitting at a bar and some crazy person says we should kill the whole government. That I don't think would trigger me and send me out of the bar. I don't think I probably I would have still been sitting on the stool. I don't think that's a completely crazy, unreasonable thing to come to think about. When you actually look at the U.S. Constitution and you look at the American history and you look at current events, that's not it's absolutely it's really a predictable thing. You would if you had a population of people that were intelligent and informed, it would be a predictable thing to hear at a bar in a conversation. So that you know that wouldn't offend me, but yeah, who cares? Like I'm not anti-money. Money is an interesting thing. My relationship to money was somewhat negative. I've lived most of my life. I worked just as little as possible. I would live in very cheap rent. I would eat very cheap, and I would work just enough to cover my life so that I could spend the rest of my time making videos and music. And I was never making money in videos and music. I didn't even really know how, because what I was interested in doing was having fun. I was just interested in making music that I wanted to make so that I could have fun. I was interested in making little videos that made me entertained. I was never really thinking of how I didn't like the idea of working for other people and all that. I'm very anti-authoritarian. So I'm used to living in poverty. I've spent most of my adult life making under poverty numbers. And probably, honestly, having a happier time, funner time than most of my peers, you know. Maybe. Not all of them. Not that you don't have your own struggles, but your struggles are primarily mental and emotional in that kind of life, you know. And maybe frustrated about the work, because the work can get pretty intense, you know. I don't like fame. When I was a kid, I've pondered fame, because when you're focused on art, then you inevitably realize that if you're ever successful and if you're ever getting paid for your work, then you're going to have some fame that comes with that. It's inevitable. You can do your best to minimize it, but it's a thing. So from a very young age, I pondered it, and I've always seen it as a burden, as something I didn't want. And I have experienced a little bit of fame, a tiny bit, but enough to reaffirm that what I've always believed is that who wants it? You know, I think you got to be a little crazy. Because what it is, it's just attention. It's just more eyes on you than when you're invisible. And isn't it always better to be invisible? That's a very simple answer for me. Yes, it's always better to be invisible. Fame without fortune, now we're into nightmare territory. Now we're into what did I do wrong to deserve such horrible karma, to have fame without any fortune. And there are people that exist that have that. I think I have the type of fame that you could monetize. You know, I am fortunate enough to have people that like my work and appreciate my work, that are willing to support my work, you guys. And so, you know, that's a pretty awesome blessing. That's a pretty good place to be. But if I were to become a millionaire, I don't think it would ruin my life. I don't think I'd be any worse or better of a person. You know, I wouldn't. I'd be lying if I said I would be bothered if I was a millionaire. You know, if I was a millionaire, it would be very easy for me to deal with that money. You know, I would buy a home. That's kind of like my dream. You know, the only way I can see ever being able to buy a home is in total, you know, pay for the whole thing. And I'm nowhere near that. But I don't see ever, like, getting a mortgage. Especially now. Like, I was, you know, with the 50-year mortgages, like, I might as well pay rent. But anyways, so I'm not really triggered by billionaires. Now, you know, you could talk about specific billionaires, you know, like the Peter Thiels and the Bill Gates and the Elon Musks. These are all puppets. These are all miserable puppets. And it is interesting, actually. Now that you mention it, it is interesting that the miserable puppets that we're being presented with in this theater of the bizarre are billionaires. In the past, I don't think they were. They weren't like, they were always men of note, you know. But billionaires? No, I think that's kind of a new thing. And it's weird. You know, now you mention it, it is weird. I wouldn't want to be a billionaire, probably for the same reason. I that kind of fame that comes with a level of fame. Like, do you really want that? Like, if you could be a billionaire and have total anonymity and invisibility, sure, I guess. But what would you spend that on? What could you? I'm not saying I couldn't. You know, I guess you could get an island and you could get buy your own civilization. To you know, like a cult, and then you can go to war with the New World Order. No, I don't care. I don't really care about having things either. Like I don't really desire having like a fancy car. I like watching car shows. Top Gear was one of my favorite shows. The BBC, they don't run it. The old guys that went on to do the Grand Tour, you know, that thing. Because I love cars, but I wouldn't want most of those cars. You know, what's my favorite one? I don't know. Let's say a Bugatti, right? $5 million Bugatti. Would I enjoy watching a Top Gear episode on that? Yes. It would be awesome, you know, to vicariously experience that. Would I like to drive one in real life? I don't even know if I'd want to drive one. I would definitely not want to own one. Owning one sounds like a friggin' nightmare to me. And I guess that's where billions of dollars comes in. I guess if you're a billionaire, then a $5 million car is just a car, and you don't really give a shit about it. But I just can't understand that. If I had a $5 million car, I would be concerned. It would add a level of concern to my life that I don't care for. So I'd rather just watch videos on them. And I don't even think I'd want to drive one. If I was driving one, I'd be worried about getting a scratch on it or something, you know? As far as owning one, you know, I'm happy with the Scat Pack Charger. I don't have one currently, but that's about as top end as I'd be happy with getting, you know. That thing will be dependable and you can jam it out every day and, you know. So I don't really give a shit about billionaires. I'm into individual freedom. What I think is the most important thing is that we have the freedom to make the choices that we want to make in life, on our path. Along our path, we come to moments where we have to choose and it's up to us to choose. And that cannot change. And I can't speak for anyone else. If there's people out there that are saying that they're not able to do that right now, I am not. I am able to do that. I have always been able to make free choices in my life, to exercise my will. And that is the most important thing. Probably my most consistent request to this divine force that is responsible for all of creation and all that there is in the past and moving forward is show me the path. Sometimes I know I'm on the path. I feel pretty good about that now. Sometimes I feel like I'm off the path, and I don't like feeling off the path. And so when I'm off the path, I'm always asking, please show me the path. Please get me on the path. It's the most important thing to me is to be on the path, to do the things that I'm here to do. Like I said, I don't think I'm here to save the human race from being farmed. You know, I can respect that. I don't know what that is. I would love to have the answers. I would love to know all these answers. I would love to have my own vehicle where I could get to a certain elevation to see exactly where we are. I would love to go deep behind the curtain and into the underworld and see who's actually running it and what's going on and why. Believe me, I think more than most people. I'm very curious. Curiosity is my thing, whatever you want to call. You want to get me hooked. That's how you do it. You get me hooked with my curiosity. But I can also live not knowing. I'm fine with that. I know that what I know is very little. Most of the stuff that the Reese Report covers is the stuff I don't know. Like saying, well, this is a lie. 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 What does that leave you with? It doesn't leave you with a definitive truth. It leaves you with a wide open space of unknown, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm getting this is my first time on Restream, and I'm getting a congratulations. You've received 100 messages today with Restream chat. Cool. I guess that's good. I guess that's something we should congratulate ourselves for. So thank you very much. What else? What else can we chat about before I wind it down here? Playing a guitar isn't going to solve that problem. I'm not sure what problem you're referring to. But the thing is doing something that you love, whether it's playing guitar or playing basketball or going for a walk or whatever it is, doing the thing that you love to do, it will absolutely solve every problem in your life. So you probably already know that, and you're just making a joke about something else. But if you want to solve problems in your life, there's two things to do, really. One is to learn how to silence, learn how to shut up, learn how to turn this thing off and listen. Learn how to listen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just start. Start learning how to listen. And then once you learn how to listen, listen more often. You're never going to solve a problem if you can't listen for an answer. And then the other thing is to create a vibration of peace and joy. And I don't know any better way of doing that than doing the work that you love to do. I'm a doer. It's hard for me to feel peace and joy by doing nothing. So I get there by doing things. I get there by having a guitar in the hand, having a banjo in the hand, having a bass in the hand. That's how I solve my problems. And I know no one's asking me for my advice, but if you're having trouble solving your problems, that's what I would say is shut up and listen and spend as much free time as you can doing things that you love to do. Be happy. Someone says, we miss you, Greg. Well, hey, I'm right here, Jake. I'm right here, man. And if you want to never miss any of my work, and if you want to keep me around, right here, $75. It's real easy. It's real easy. I would say reach in your pocket and pull it out. Less than $100 bills, less than that. But it's going to be digital, probably, you know. You got to give up your card information, but it's just $75 for an entire year of the Reese Report, keeping us around. And you'll never miss. Then you'll never miss me again. Nikola Tesla was onto something. I agree. I'm a big fan of that. I think that's where the Reese Report needs to go a lot more too. Is there are a lot of DIY experiments that we can do on our own that aren't that crazy and expensive to where we can actually learn how to get energy for ourselves. I think that's where it's at. That's where real true independence and freedom comes from, is to somehow crack that code to where you are providing your own energy, you're providing your own food, and all that stuff. Because then what do you need to sign any contracts with some third party for or some outsourced system, you know? So I know it's a big dream. Post 2020, it's a big dream, but I'm not going to give up that, you know? Why did I leave InfoWars? You can rewind the video, and I talk about that in the beginning. In conclusion, I draw blah, 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 blah. Someone's asking me if someone's a shill. You know, that's the kind of information, like I said, I have a pretty good sense of that, in my opinion. But that's not my job. My job is to not get in that game of who's trustworthy and who's not. Because I'll say the same answer. Assume that everyone is untrustworthy and double check what the hell they're saying. You know? Focus on the information and don't worry about any type of emotional attachment to some person. That is best to do in real life. In real life relationships, you build bonds and trust. On when you're getting your news from talking heads on the internet, even if they talk to you in chats like this, do your own research. Think for yourself. If we ever have dinner together and meet face to face, we can get all warm and fuzzy. You know, we can get all friend-like. You know, we can get in deep with each other, you know, and gain that trust and bond, you know. Well, that's good stuff. It's what humans need to do more of. But here, this is more like a business, you know. This is you guys have made my work possible to continue on the way that it has. In fact, I didn't get into the details, but we're reaching a point with the Reese Report where the Reese Report needs to upgrade its gear and its equipment. We're getting a lot of glitches. Things have been slowing down, having a lot of problems. It's that time. The gear that we have is already a few years old. You get about, in my experience, about 3 years in the gear. So we're going to need, that's going to be a cost. I don't have the money for that right now. But thanks to, I can already tell that we're getting some subscribers here today, that we're going to be able to do things like that. We're going to be able to continue on without hiccups, without taking breaks. I'm not a big vacation guy, so I don't really need vacations. So anyways, who's a shill? I think it's pretty clear to tell. In my opinion, you know, I'm weary of anyone who has the answers, anyone who's claiming to have answers and claiming to know what's going on. I'm extremely suspicious of any of those people. And to be honest, I think a lot of those people are just saying that because they know that it's a con artist, right? That's what con artist stands for, confidence. All you have to do is act confident, you know, confidently convince people, hey, I know the answers. If you want the answers, I got them. Anyone who says that, I think, is suspect. They're selling something, and they're probably just selling their thing. I'm not. I'm begging for your help, all right? I'm not asking you to believe in me. I am on my knees saying, give me some money, you know? Please, and thank you. I really appreciate it. I really do. I promise you that $75 will be thought of the entire year, and I will make the most of it. And we'll work together here on Substack. All right, we're wrapping it up right now. I'm just kind of seeing if there's anything here. I don't want to leave anyone hanging on anything interesting. Well, it's great. I'm glad people are saying great seeing me, and thanks, and I appreciate it. I really do. It's great being. I'm glad you guys are here too. This is the first time I've done this on Substack, and it seems to be working pretty good on Substack. I'm looking at the chat in Substack right now. Richie from Boston. I used to watch Richie from Boston way back in the day. James Corbett. Yeah, James Corbett's great. All right, you know, there's not a lot of engagement in the chat, really. So, and if there is, I'm sorry, I missed it. Troy's asking, how do I send money? Well, Troy, you can go to the donate link that should be below. The donate link will tell you to reesereport.com, and there is a donation button there. And that goes for everyone, too. That goes for everyone, because that's the whole point of this. The whole point of this video is to say thank you to my subscribers on Substack, and not just my subscribers, but everyone who's donated through that donate link. There are many there, too, and I appreciate all of you. You have made it so that the Reese Report could continue on unadulterated, unencumbered, all that good stuff for all of 2025. Well, we're not quite there yet, but we're close enough, you know. And so what we're here today is to get that extended for another year. It's like a telethon. When I was a kid growing up in the late 70s and the 80s, they would have telethons for like PBS, where they would have an all-day thing, and they would play you movies and have interviews and guests, and then they would have people picking up phones, taking donations. This is our telethon. Leslie says, I would prefer to donate directly to you and not via Substack. Yeah, so that's fine. That's the link you'll find, is a direct donation button. Should be below where it says donate. It's a Reese Report link. I had a friend of mine set me up on that. By the way, I'm just reading the chat here. Someone's asking me what I listen to. I don't know if you're asking me that. While I've been working on this album, I've been listening to my favorite albums that I grew up with. Excuse me. And I've been searching, I've been asking my close friends what your favorite albums are, what their favorite albums are, and listening to them. And I've been doing my own research of, like, what are the most popular albums of all time? And then not just take, you know, sometimes those searches comes up with things that, you know, my gut doesn't feel good about, but then looking at those. You know. So I've been studying, I've been researching. The idea behind the album I'm doing is for it to be an experience that you would, like when I was a kid, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, I would listen to vinyl records and I would put it on and I would listen to the whole thing while holding the album in my hand, looking at the album, or I'd put the album down, close my eyes, listen to, you know? And I think a lot of us lost that experience with music. So the whole inspiration of the album is to try to create an album that could be experienced that way. I don't get too into chats myself, so I don't really understand exactly how to read them and answer them. And it looks like a lot of it is people talking to each other. Who is we when you refer to your show? Well, it's a funny, that's a good question. I think that's a good question. I got in the habit of using the word we back when I was writing my book. So somewhere around 2016, 2017 was when I was writing my book. And there are many opportunities when you're writing when you could say I or you could say we. Like when you're talking about things about the heart and the ego and human experiences. And I learned back then that when you use we, it's being more inclusive. You're now including all the readers, which makes sense, obviously. If you use the word we, you're including the audience and the reader. And typically that's why I use it, because I have a big heart and I love you. I mean, you know, that's why. A lot of times I catch myself doing it when I'm talking about the Reese Report. And in that instance, it's a little bit more than that. When I'm saying we in the Reese Report, I am talking about all my paid subscribers as well, because that is who I work for. That's who the Reese Report is made possible by. And I do listen. Not always. I guess ultimately I am my own boss and I make my own decisions, but I often come for answers and I look for... I'm always looking for good news stories, you know? So that's what I mean by we. Reese Report comments should be free and open. All right. Well, they have been. They have been. I did delete one person, and it was a stalker that I had, and I never really talked about him. And I do not at all regret that. It was definitely a crazy person who was after me and would not stop. And they have stopped, luckily. Luckily, they've given up. Grown adult. Someone says dump the trolls. All right, so we're going to have a that's what I mean by we. So I'm talking about. We're having a conversation now. We'll look into it. I'm going to, trolls expose themselves, be strong. Now, I'm kind of lean towards that. Like, I think it's a good skill to learn how to not be bothered and not to engage with trolls. I think that's a good skill to learn. Because then you take away all their joy in life and you'll suffocate them. And I'm not saying that's a nice thing. I'm just saying, I'm just being stupid, just joking around. No, but seriously, though. And that's one of the reasons why I left them there is because I don't know. Online, I think, like I said, in real life, yes, I would kick them out. And so you could argue I could do the same thing. I'm on the fence, folks. I'm on the fence. I'm gonna listen into it. But seriously, I am hungry. I'm gonna get going here. So, all right. Are people talking about it? I will go back and look at this. Actually, I actually will go through this because I see a lot of people have chimed in on it. And we'll go with we'll probably go with Mob Rule. Anyways, thanks for being here, guys. Really, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Another thing you could do is you could, you know, what do they say? They say like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. I'm sure if you do that, it'll help because this video will stay on for people to watch that wasn't able to be here live. And hopefully we can convince people that have watched it after it was live to once again, all we're asking here, who's we? It's really me. You know, the Reese Report is written and produced by me, but the best work comes through me from this divine force that we are all connected to. That's where the best of it comes from me. Occasionally, the Reese Report will put out some garbage and do some dumb stuff, and that's from me. That's from the human. That's from the flawed human that shows itself in there too. But the good stuff is coming from somewhere better, somewhere more divine. And the reason we're able to get there is because of all of you. Thank you. You made 2025 possible. The Reese Report now. Fully independent for a year, and we're looking at going into 2026 fully independent thanks to your support. So thank you very much, folks, and we are out. We will play a final video to take us out, one that we haven't played yet. Do we have one that we haven't played yet? La-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da. Yes, I think we do. Here's a good one. Love you guys.
Rudolf Steiner, whose teachings led to anthroposophical medicine, biodynamic farming, and the Waldorf School, said that the heart is a seven-sided regular form that sits in an imaginary box in the chest. Regular means that all seven sides are identical. Plato described five Platonic solids, and Steiner said there was a sixth one. He also said that the heart is not a pump. This fantastic claim was vindicated by Frank Chester, who figured out how to design a seven-sided regular form. This sixth Platonic solid is now called the chestahedron, and it fits perfectly inside a cube at an angle of 36 degrees off-center to the left, the exact same angle that the heart sits in the chest. When submerged in water and spun, two counter-rotating vortices are formed. Recent scientific studies have shown that these two vortices facilitate the closing of the valves, and when the vortices don't form properly, blood clots will appear. The man who unfolded a thousand hearts, Paco Torrent Guasp, discovered that the heart is a single muscular band folded over itself in a spiraling pattern. The heart itself is a vortex of tissue. It is not a pump. It is a vortex machine. For centuries, it was believed that matter can only exist in three states, such as water, which can exist as liquid, ice, and vapor. Human cells are 70% water, but most of this water is not in any of these three states. We have recently learned that with water, there is a fourth state. This fourth state is called the plasma state, gel phase, exclusion zone, or structured water. And this is what pushes your blood through the entire cardiovascular system. Fueled by infrared energy from its environment, the water in our body becomes an electrical propulsion system. A certain percentage of the water in our body becomes structured water, and the rest remains normal liquid water, or bulk water. The structured water becomes negatively charged and forms the gelatinous outer walls of our capillaries, veins, and arteries. These negatively charged outer walls continuously propel the positively charged bulk water within, carrying the blood with it. This propulsion system will run indefinitely, so long as it stays charged. And the way you charge it is with the Earth's electromagnetic field, infrared energy, and positive thought. The work of Dr. Masaru Emoto has scientifically demonstrated that water exposed to loving human words and thoughts is transformed into its natural hexagonal shape. It becomes structured at a molecular level based on our positive intention. This new model shows that it is the blood that pumps the heart, not the other way around. And in order to keep the flow strong and healthy, our best medicine is to connect to the earth, get sunlight, love ourselves, and love one another with physical touch. Victor Schauberger spent his life studying water and found that in the natural world, water will always create vortices along its path. Schauberger learned that this spiral action is what structures the water in nature, and that when subjected to modern man-made water treatment, it loses its structure. Schauberger's work led him to believe that one could generate energy out of a vortex. He described it as an energy implosion, as opposed to an energy explosion. Dr. Tom Cowan, who has written about this in Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, has an interesting theory which may explain the saying, a heart of gold. Another recent discovery is that gold in its purest form does not appear to be gold at all. Under the right conditions, normal physical gold can be transformed into a fine white powder known as monatomic gold. This monatomic gold has been studied by multiple advanced laboratories, and it has very strange properties. It can be made to levitate and disappear. Monatomic gold is superconductive, and many would argue that this is what the alchemists were after. One of the ways of turning metallic gold into monatomic gold is by putting it through a high-speed vortex. When this transformation occurs, there is a flash of light and a 44% loss in weight. Dr. Cowan believes that the trace amounts of gold in our blood is transformed into monatomic gold as it travels through the double vortices in the heart, creating the spark of life. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.